Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 27, we were taught that when we have thoughts of sin in our heart, we need to turn them over to God immediately and not let them get too big for us to handle. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In verse 1, he had thought about in his heart, and now verse 2, he acts upon those thoughts in his heart. Again, that thinking is without consulting God. That's the problem. He entertained that thought, and he entertained that thought until, as we read in verse 2, he acted upon it. Yours is told, and this was years ago. As a matter of fact, I got two true stories I want to share with you. Years ago, a man walked by a bank and looked in the door and is back in the before the turn of the century to the 20th, from the 19th to the 20th century. He looked in through a door and saw that they were in there, and he said, "Boy, that'd be easy to rob that bank." And the next time he walked by, and he had to walk by the bank every day, and he would see it, and another thought would come to his mind, another thought would come to his mind. And what just started out as, man, look at that, how easy that'd be to rob. It turned into a plan, and then it turned into action. And he walked in to rob the bank, and things didn't go exactly right. He was caught, and he was in jail, and went to prison. When he was asked about what happened, why did he rob a bank, that's the story told. It wasn't the money that he needed, but he acted upon his own thoughts. I think of a church that I pastored where a lady had an affair with a married man, but as we questioned her, she said, "You know, I started having romantic thoughts about the man." She says, "First, it was just a dream, a couple dreams, and then I started thinking on those dreams, started having thoughts, and in time, we got together." Now, both of them had families, and they both almost lost their families. But my friend, it started in the thought life, it started in the heart. When we start in the heart, that's where it needs to be stopped, is in the heart. Trust in the Lord at all times, Psalm 62:8 says. Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, think about it. And oh, if David, oh, if this bank robber, oh, if this adulteress, had they just simply poured out their heart to God at the outset and not dwelt on it and allowed it to develop, that sin would not have brought forth the deadly consequences that it did. Now, certainly, the circumstances were bad, and Saul could not be trusted in the case of David. But we aren't to turn to the world to solve our problems when those things happen. David was never told by God to trust Saul. Never. We are never instructed to place our faith in men. Most of God's men have had low periods in their life. You can ask your favorite preacher. If he's honest, he'll say, oh, yes, he's had many failures. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. You know, we go through those trials, we go through those tribulations, and not just for a day or two. Usually it's for a season of life. Sometimes it goes on for not only months, it turns into years, and it just is there. Someone asked Lee Robertson near the end of his life if there was anything that he would do differently. And he answered, "I would pray more. I would pray more. And I would trust God more." No, I think if a man like Dr. Lee Robertson would make that kind of a statement, a man used mightily of God, or it says something about myself. I need to pray more. I need to trust God more. Now, don't forget, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. I can remember driving on Interstate 10 from San Antonio to El Paso, Texas. I believe that was the 500 miles of the most desolate scenery I had ever seen. On top of everything, the scenery didn't change. 100 miles down the road, it looked no different than the scenery that you'd seen 100 miles back. Then, as we passed through that desert and we got into New Mexico, it started looking better, although it was still desert. And then we hit Arizona, and boy, it wasn't only desert, but it was beautiful. And I thought, wow, there's just simply a beauty here that I don't mind being in Arizona, but I would hate to have to end up living in that Texan desert. I would definitely not make myself at home in Texas. Nothing against Texas, but the desert there, boy, I tell you what, that was something to endure. Now, I say all of that just to say this. Sometimes you go through long stretches of desolation, it seems like. But, you know, we were in that car, and the end of the journey brought us into some very beautiful things. And I am so glad we finished the trip. It's so easy to quit on God and not finish the job. It's so easy to get discouraged and say, what's the use? Oh, my friend, please don't quit on God. Now, friend, this world is not our home. We're just passing through, as the song says. But we are going to a better place. So don't live in the slums of your own pride, and don't live in the slums of self-pity. Just pass through it. Just pass through it. The world is perverted, and it is dirty, and it is sensual. But we don't have to be that way. And by the way, we don't have to make our churches sensual, perverted, and unholy. Now, friend, maybe you're going through that dark valley. Maybe it is that long desert drive. You've been there a long time, and you wonder if you're ever going to come through it. It seems there's no solution to your problems. You might say perplexity. And you'll need to learn the lesson David will learn, and he did learn it, and that is, wait on the Lord. Notice these scriptures. In Psalms chapter 25, verse 3, verse 5, and verse 21, we read this. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Now, understand, David had some times which people thought, boy, he's made a shame of himself. He had days that he was going through it. He was fleeing from Saul. He was fleeing for his life. And I'm sure people thought bad things about David at the moment. But David persevered. We talk about David's throne. We talk about Jesus, the son of David. We talk about David in the kingdom. My friend, understand that David ended up not being ashamed. See, sometimes it says that when we think of the word of waiting on the Lord, we won't be ashamed, that we won't have a bad experience, we won't get embarrassed in this life in some way or another. No, it's talking about eternity. Keep your heart and mind set on eternity. In Psalms 27, verse 14, we read this, "Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." The Lord will come through. And isn't it interesting God used David to pen a psalm such as this? Because this was the problem with which he was dealing at the moment. Now, let me just share one other passage here with you. Psalms chapter 37, verse 7, verse 9, and verse 34. There we read this, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Boy, isn't that hard, the patiently part of waiting? "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And then verse 34 says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." When Jesus Christ comes back, and you'll have more than the 70 to 90 years that we may have in this life, oh, you'll respond and say, "Hey, it was worth it all. It was totally worth it all." So, my friend, you always acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. See, we as Christians must be untiring and wholehearted in our praying if we desire powerful results from our Heavenly Father. It is against the door of my own heart, as well as yours, that too little goes on within our lives that burns with this intense quality. That is, persistency in prayer. Oh, we may pray for a night. We may go to a specially called prayer meeting. But this is not praying for a day. It's not praying for a week. It's not praying for a month. It's praying until you know you have God's answer. It's persistent. And it can be clearly felt by any Christian who stands at the prayer room. For an example, I think of John Knox in Edinburgh, Queen of Scots. Mary said that she feared his prayer more than the armies of England.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.